Cumulus Broadcasting is proud to present the only show of its kind in the Fox Valley designed to inform you on how to go green, live green, and save green. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union, naturally a better financial. Here's your host, Bill Schultz.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to us by our friends at Evergreen Credit Union, naturally a better financial, and we thank them very much for once again sponsoring our show. As we are in, I guess we officially say the dog days of summer. I don't know where that term came from, but whatever it means it's hot, the sun is out, it's beating down, there's a lot of solar, so that means we got to bring in our solar expert. And that's Jesse Michalski from Eland Electric. How you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. How is business this in the middle of summer? How does that work?
We're trying to catch up. It's busy. It's always busy this time of year from solar solar standpoint and from general construction. But everybody that started talking about this and thinking about this back in the spring, everybody's kind of pulling the trigger now and trying to get it done before we start losing sunlight, which we already are.
Mm-hmm.
Past June 21st, so the days are getting shorter.
Yeah,
but we're busy. It's extremely busy.
Well, I had also heard too the other day that the low temperature average is now going the other way. Now it's starting to dip. So the low average is now, I don't know, 50s or something along those lines. So we're turning the corner now. But does your business act like, the winter when the first snow flies, it's snowblowers. Everybody's thinking snowblowers. When there's sun out almost all the time now, does your phone just tend to ring more naturally? Is that how it works?
This time of year, probably not so much. We do probably see that more in the spring, probably right after Easter break,
mm-hmm.
when people are kind of starting to look at the end of school year. Starting to plan some of their summer activities. That's when, maybe people start to have a little bit more time to think about it.
And, mm-hmm.
The days are getting longer, the sun is shining, the snow is gone, the birds are chirping. That's about the time of year when that's our first snowstorm, so to speak.
I had another question to ask you, and this has nothing to do with what we talked about before we went on the air. But I was up north, and it's amazing to me how much... It seems, I'm imagining this, but it seems there's more solar panels up on businesses up north. Like I went up to Bayfield in that area and off of Lake Superior and all that. And I just saw so many more solar panels. Is that convenience sake? Is there a reason for this? Is it the mentality of people up in the North Woods or something? What is it?
I don't have an answer to that question. It's definitely very regional.
It is.
Madison is probably the leader in the state in terms of solar density.
Madison is?
Madison.
Okay.
A lot of population. You got UW-Madison right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be very utility specific. So as Wisconsin has over 90 some utilities between the public sector and the private investor-owned utilities and the municipal co-op utilities. Each utility, has their own little set of rules and guidelines. Some might have their own little incentives, which make solar very attractive to do. So that's where you might see little communities and little small utility co-op areas have a high density, solar density. But I haven't found a rhyme or reason.
Jesse Michalski with us from Eland Electric. You brought up a good point that I wanted to talk to you about last show, and you just brought it up, and so I'm triggering another one. Talk about the pockets of utility companies. They offer different incentives, different offers. Why is that, and is it worth looking into from a consumer standpoint?
We don't see too many of the special utility programs anymore. A feed-in tariff is a common term for that, or a special buyback rate. Wisconsin Public Service and We Energies both had done that probably back in 2010 timeframe, where they would pay you a much higher utility rate to buy all of your solar energy than what they would sell you for your regular energy.
Okay.
They were claiming the renewable credits to the energy they bought from you, which is why they paid you a premium.
Okay.
To meet the renewable portfolio standards that had been set forth for them. They've met those goals, so we really don't see too many of those anymore. But every utility has a different utility rate tariffs, cost structures. So depending on what utility you are a part of, the return on investment from a solar system is purely a function of what you paid for the system, what the system generates in terms of energy quantity, and what the rate of that energy is. So if you have a utility that charges you a higher rate, the return on investment is much more quicker than if you have a utility that charges you a lower rate.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those co-op smaller utilities inherently charge more because they don't have the power or the size benefits of like a We Energies or a Wisconsin Public Service. So that's where you might see, you know, a small municipal or co-op utility in the Bayfield area or Oconal Electric Co-op.
I was going to ask you, are there some that have better than others that you know that you've worked with?
It's a double-edged sword. You know, some of them have, like Oconee Utilities has a fairly low utility rate, so it's advantageous to live there because utility rates are pretty low. It's not as advantageous for solar because utility rates are low.
Low, right, okay.
So,
okay.
The higher the utility rate, the more advantageous it is to put in solar, which is why we see places like California, Hawaii, East Coast states have just extremely high solar density because their rates are so much higher.
Right, gotcha.
The same size system there has a 2-year payback versus an 8-year payback here in Wisconsin, simply because utility rates are that much different.
EonElectric.com is the website, and the number is 338-6000. Jesse Michalski here with us. Let's talk, we always do, about what is going on in solar, and especially with offers, rebates, incentives, things along those lines. And I know from the solar world, it's kind of divided into residential and commercial. So let's try to cover both here.
Yeah, the residential focus on energy, the 30% tax credit is kind of the one that covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
But from a focus on energy standpoint, which is the state-ran energy efficiency program, they offer cashback rewards for residential customers, and it's based on 12% of the system cost, and that's capped at a maximum rebate of $2,000.
Okay.
It's a first-come, first-serve pool of money, and right now, last I checked, there was just over $400,000 available. They started with just over $1 million, so we're a little over halfway through the year and have gone through a little over half of the money. So that's a prescriptive, what we call a prescriptive incentive. It's not competitive. As long as you fit the criteria, you get the money.
And that will, when that $400,000 is gone, then the program's gone for now.
For 2017. Yeah. Yep, it'll renew in 2018. We don't know if that percentage may change. It might go up. It might go down. That's why they this year went to a percentage-based rebate so that they have the ability to adjust. If costs of systems continue to come down, they don't want to over-incentivize, so they might next year say, well, we're going to do 10%. Capped at $2,000, or because for whatever reason prices went up, they're going to increase the percentage. So the residential rebate is based on 12% of the total system cost capped at a maximum rebate of $2,000.
Okay.
Prescriptive in nature, being that you have to be within 45 degrees of due south and between a 10 and 60 degree tilt angle and less than 10% shading. As long as you meet those three main criterias, you'll get that 12%.
And is that where you guys come in? Make sure they reach that criteria?
Yeah, and those are some very friendly sets of criteria.
Okay.
I don't know that we would consciously put something in that didn't meet that criteria.
It's not okay. It's just there, but typically that anybody puts it in a system, it's going to be there.
Yep. I mean, they don't want to give you a rebate to buy solar panels and, you know, lay them on the ground in your garage.
Right.
So they have to have some form of criteria to make sure that you're actually conserving energy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the main sets of criteria.
Okay.
On the commercial side or the non-residential side, so nonprofits, for-profits, businesses, large industrial, mid-sized to small commercial, as long as you have a non-residential rate with the utility company, then you would fall into that category. They offer a similar 12% cashback reward on those systems, but that's capped at $4,000. So they understand that those systems tend to be a little bit bigger in size,
mm-hmm.
so they up the cap on that to $4,000. That pool of money has been exhausted for 2017, but we do anticipate that that'll get renewed in 2018.
Okay.
And then there is another competitive grant program available for non-residential ratepayers, and that is going to be announced on Friday. That is what we call RECIP. RECIP stands for Renewable Energy Competitive Incentive Program.
Good acronym.
Focus is
sure.
Notorious for acronyms. So that is a competitive grant. Because it's competitive, the available incentives are much higher, and that's not based on a percentage of cost. It's based on kilowatt hours generated. So you can get so many dollars for every kilowatt hour your system generates in year one.
Okay.
So, for instance, a 100 kW commercial system might generate 130,000 kilowatt hours a year. So you'd be getting, you'd be eligible for up to a $65,000 grant.
When you say competitive, what does that mean, Jesse?
That your grant is competing against all the other grants. They're all due on the same day. So
okay. So they're all due on the same day.
Yeah,
okay.
The RFP will be announced on Friday.
Okay.
And it's early October. October 13th, I think, is when those grants are due. All the grants get submitted to Madison on one day, and all the grants compete against each other. They score on things like cost effectiveness of the system. How many dollars per watt was this system installed for, or would the system be installed for versus this other system?
Mm-hmm.
So if customer ABC gets a system quote and it's $2 a watt, and customer XYZ gets a system quote and it's $1.50 a watt installed, that lower watt dollar per watt system is going to score better in the grant.
Okay.
There's several other factors as well, but that's why it's competitive. The more competitive grants tend to get the money ahead of others.
So how do you handle that when a business X says to you, there's a competitive grant, but you look at it and you go, can you say, I don't think you're going to get it, so let's not waste our time? Or do you say, no, everybody's in, and let's just try for it?
Well, wasting time is like a bad word.
Yeah, okay.
Nobody ever wastes my time.
Yeah.
I'm always willing to spend the time.
You should know better than that to ask you that question. You're right. You're right.
I've had a few customers where, you know, you kind of know up front that, yeah, due to, you know, maybe it's an extremely small system.
Yeah,
maybe the only way to do it is a ground-mounted system, which, you know, ground-mounted systems are inherently more expensive than roof-mounted systems.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller ground-mounted systems, I'll definitely make that known to the customer. But there are some other things we can do in that grant application that, even though we might not have the most competitive cost per watt installation, if we ask for less money, we can score higher by asking for a little bit less.
Okay.
So there's kind of some ways to offset
sure.
that.
Okay.
Now they have to be willing to take, you know, less than the maximum grant, which is always hard to convince somebody to do.
Right.
But it's still far better than asking for that $4,000 rebate. You can, you know, instead of a $60,000 rebate, maybe you ask for a $30,000 rebate.
Yep.
So you can make up for some of the inefficiencies in the installed cost by asking for less money on the rebate. So there's a lot of different scoring criteria.
Right.
There, and there's some ways to help offset that.
Good. Jesse Michalski with us from Elin Electric, and we are going to take a break, and we're going to talk about solar. Is it right for you? We're going to weigh the odds right after this.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight being brought to us by Evergreen Credit Union, naturally a better financial who you work with. You put up their system up there at Evergreen Credit Union.
Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about Jesse Michalski, I should say, is with us from Elon Electric. We're talking solar today. One of the things that when solar conversations happen, we talk about the panels, we talk about where the systems come from. For many, many years, there's always the thought that it's overseas, that's where they come from, and they still do. But there's been some great strides made over the last decade or so about U.S.-bought solar panels, which Elon Electric, I know, feels very strongly about. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we only use the Solar World brand panel, solar module, which is manufactured up in Hillsboro, Oregon. Right now, they're the only remaining American-made module.
Mm-hmm.
All the other ones have succumbed to the pressure of less expensive modules being brought in from overseas, which, you know, if that's what people want to do, that I don't fault them for doing it, but it's definitely you get what you pay for. That's my personal opinion when it comes to the solar panels from a quality side of things.
So there is a difference.
I don't know that you would see a difference day one of your solar system being installed, because every module has to have a UL listing and every module has to be tested before it leaves the factory. So day one, a Solar World module is probably going to perform very similar to a foreign manufactured panel.
Mm-hmm.
Even year one, you know, throughout the first year, they might do the same thing. Where I feel you're going to start to see the difference is long term. So okay. High quality components are very robust and last over the length of time. Lower quality components will do really good day one, year one, maybe through year five, but as time progresses, those will start to wear down faster, and the lower quality components will start to wear out sooner than a Solar World brand panel. And some of that, you know, is inherent in Solar World's 40-year American manufacturing history. They've got some of their original panels that were manufactured and put into commission 40 years ago that they've decommissioned, not because there was anything wrong with them, but because that where they had them, they just wanted to put in newer panels. So they took out some of their 40-year-old solar panels, and they were still putting out 90% of their original power.
Do you find the foreign panels from China are harder, if there is a problem, to service them, things along those lines? I would think being closer to home is a little better service if there are issues.
If I've used them, I'd be able to better answer that question,
yeah.
But
you know,
I've never used a foreign panel, so I really don't know how that process works. In all of our projects, we've probably put in over 100,000 Solar World panels. We've
mm-hmm.
had one bad panel.
Wow.
Wow. And it was bad out of the box.
Unbelievable.
As long as we monitor just about every one of our solar systems, we've only had one bad panel. Solar World has a documented 0.03%, not 0.03 being 3%, but 0.03% failure rate.
Wow.
So you literally have a better chance of being struck by lightning than
yep.
having a bad solar panel manufactured by Solar World.
That's a good stat. You should put that in there.
So reliability is the biggest thing when you're making that big of an investment. You want to make sure you're investing in a product and an installation that you shouldn't have to worry about. We advertise them as truly a maintenance-free solar system. The last thing you want to have to do is worry about maintaining it.
Mm-hmm. You had mentioned before we went on the air, too, about a warranty program that also, it sounds like people just feel better having a warranty program. You could have the most reliable product in the world, but a warranty program speaks volumes. So let's talk about that. Now.
Yeah, the Tommy Boy.
Yeah, exactly.
I can put a stamp on a box for you if you want
that,
to come
that's
to
that's right. Yeah, we don't have to go into the exact line from the movie, but yeah, we get it.
Solar World has always been the leader in terms of warranties on modules. They were the first ones to come out with a 25-year performance warranty, the first ones to turn that into a 25-year linear performance warranty, and now they're the first ones to come out with what they call their Solar World Assurance program. And what that is, because the solar market is a very volatile market for manufacturers. Solar World, as much as they hope to be around 50 years from now, they can't guarantee anything, especially with pressure from lower-priced overseas manufactured modules. So they came up with, they now have included on any solar system that was installed in 2017 and moving forward, their Solar World Assurance Program. What it is it's a third-party insurance-backed warranty on their above and beyond their traditional warranty. So if for some reason Solar World something happens, God, you know, hopefully nothing happens. But if something happens to Solar World and they're no longer able to support the warranty of their module, the insurance company will take care of warranty claims on that module. There's no premiums, there's no cost, there's no deductibles.
It's just a sign-up kind of thing, like a warranty you would have for...
register your system with Solar World, you know, and your installer, if your installer is supplying you with Solar World panels, they should be able to get you the link to that website. It's all they're looking for is your name and address. So register your system with the Solar World Assurance Warranty, and you become registered. Solar World will take care of their warranty. It's a 10-year manufacturer's warranty and a 25-year power warranty. That insurance warranty would kick in after the 10-year manufacturer's warranty, so you truly have a 25-year manufacturer's and power warranty on your solar module.
Nice. Elon Electric with us, Jesse Michalski here with us, and again, you can go to elonelectric.com, or you can call 338-6000 if you're interested. Let's talk about, I'm going to give you a very general question here, who is right for solar? Who should get solar? And Jesse's answer is going to be, Anybody.
It's not right for everybody, but everybody doesn't know if it's right for them until they inquire.
Yeah.
All that I can ask is that you give us a call or you visit our website or you talk to anybody. It doesn't have to be us. Most reputable installers are going to give you the time of the day to let you know if it's right for you. If you want to lower your utility bill, solar is an option to do that. There's other probably more cost-effective ways to do it. Energy conservation is always should be the first step. Mm-hmm. If you want to reduce your utility bill, and that's what solar does, but if you want to reduce the amount of money you pay the utility company to have power at your home, the first step is to conserve energy.
Energy
conservation is more cost-effective than energy generation.
Mm-hmm.
You can only conserve so much, so... do the low-hanging fruit first.
Yep.
LED light bulbs, maybe ENERGY STAR rated appliances, better insulation, a more efficient heating and cooling system. Once you've kind of made those steps, then you can see what you're consuming, and then you need a smaller solar system as opposed to looking at it before you conserve energy.
I know, you spend when you go to our expos and you're talking to people, you're talking for hours on end with people. So the question I'm asking you is, what's a stumbling block? What do you find most common as the hurdle that people need to get over before they make that solar switch? Is there one or many?
I don't know if there's any one that sticks out. For some, it's a finance.
Okay.
Solar systems are an investment. It's an investment. Again, depending, very, very much relating to the size of the system you want. So the more energy you consume, the bigger the system you would probably need and the more expensive it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes financing can be a stumbling block, but there are some pretty nice programs out there right now for that. The show sponsor, Evergreen Credit Union, has a very specific solar loan program. If you live or work within a four-county area, I think it's Washera, Outagamie, Calumet, and
Winnebago.
Mm-hmm. That's a solar loan program. It's an unsecured loan, basically. So there's some options to get over that financing hurdle.
Well, I ask that question, Jesse, too, because I see people who talk to you at the show, and they're very apprehensive, and you do a good job of explaining it in layman terms type of thing. But I also see when there's the switch. And when people are switched, they're like, they're bought in. It's like, what were we doing? It's weird. It's kind of weird how that transition happens because the face changes, the whole, am I right?
I mean, I can, I'm not saying that I have a good knack for it, but when in talking to a customer, I've been doing this long enough and frequently enough that I can kind of tell very quickly in the conversation if this is going to go somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you can.
Or if this is just someone kicking the tires.
Yeah.
And I don't push. Yeah. If someone's just kicking the tires.
Everyone's at a different level.
I'll let them kick as hard as they want, give them all the information they want. But sometimes you can kind of see when you don't expect that to turn into anything. But then you've got some, you know, and sometimes it's just the way they ask the questions or the types of questions they ask where you know they're engaged and they're interested. So for those customers, sometimes the stumbling block is just the belief in it working, the proof in the pudding.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the right terminology there, but usually it just takes knowing somebody or having a buddy or a friend or a relative or a friend of a friend who's
got
it done, and most of our customers who have had it done love talking about it.
Yes, I find that too.
They're always bragging about it. They're always showing everybody on their smartphone the online monitoring. Oh, look what it's doing today. You know, my system is maxing out at 10 kilowatts, and I generated 50 kilowatt hours today.
Yeah.
When a potential customer can see that it's working, then they can talk to somebody who's had it installed, and they really do have, you know, a $0 bill or, you know, $20 bills each month. That's when, you know, those clicks kind of start to happen, when the gears start meshing together, and then the wheels really start turning, and then it progresses pretty quickly after that.
And we mentioned on the show, it's very easy to get the ball rolling if you're just, like you said, kicking the tires, just somewhat interested. You can give you a call, and you can literally kind of do a map, a Google map search kind of thing of where they live and see if the potential is there, correct?
Yeah, give me a call. If you've got your 12-month history and your property address and your utility provider, usually I'll kind of know who the utility company is just by the address location. But those three pieces of information, your 12-month history, and preferably a 12-month breakdown of that, because then I can chart and graph expected generation of the system against your monthly consumption. Those three pieces of information, I can get you a budget number fairly quickly.
Get it started, and it'd be a great time of year to do that. Jesse Michalski with us, Elon Electric. The number again, 338-6000 or elonelectric.com. And Jesse, always good seeing you. Thanks.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, brought to you by Evergreen Credit Union. Naturally, a better financial. Listen next week when we spotlight another business and show you ways to go green, live green, and save green. If you would like to be a guest on Answers to Energy Questions Spotlight, please contact Bill Schultz at 920-230-0801.